Hi, and welcome to Webcams TV. I'm your host, Corey Fowler. Joining me today, we have Pranav from the ASP.NET team.
Right. Hi, Corey.
How's it going?
Pretty good.
And we also have Mehul from DevExpress.
Hey, Corey.
How's it going?
Excellent.
Brilliant. So we have a very interesting show today. The past couple of shows, we've been talking about a lot of ASP.NET MVC and the new version, ASP.NET 5, right, and some of the other things around core, and just lots of awesomeness. So we wanted to make sure that we had a show to talk about some of the cool things that are happening with web pages. And there's another really awesome thing that we're going to be talking about that, if you don't pay attention to the screen behind me,
we'll learn about it a little bit.
We might have given it away a little bit. But Pranav, do you want to give us a quick update as to what kind of support we see in web pages today and what kind of things are in the works for the next version?
So yeah, so we're doing tons of improvements in ASP.NET Web Forms, which you'll see with the next release of Visual Studio. I think the primary ones that I would like to highlight over here is we're adding support for ROS and Core DOM compilers. So these are Core DOM compilers that you can put in your project, and it'll replace the inbuilt ASP.NET compiler providers, which will allow you to use the new C# 6 features like string interpolation in your ASPX pages. Cool. It's also going to improve the compilation time of a site which has lots of DLLs, lots of app code pages, so you'll see a lot of performance improvements as a web forms developer. So you'll be able to get these NuGet packages installed in your project, and you'll be good to go. A couple of other things that we are working on is also adding HTTP2 support in IS10. So as a web forms developer, you can write pages which can leverage HTTP2. And HTTP2 allows you to increase performance of your site by loading static resources more efficiently. So for example, traditionally, when a client connects to a server, there's a single TCP connection. And for each request for an image, you sort of open up a new connection. So opening up connections is takes a long time, adds more overhead. With HTTP2, you can have a single TCP connection and multiplex different image requests, so it's more faster. So you can use that as a web forms developer. Sure. We also have async model binding, so that builds on top of the model binding feature that we shipped in .NET Framework 4.5. Mm-hmm. And now you can write async select actions, update actions, delete actions in your pages as well. So these are some of the few highlights that will be coming in. There are tons of other improvements, and we'll have a link to a blog post which sort of talks to about all these improvements in web forms.
Cool. Excellent. That's a great overview, and I really need to try and find someone. I've been trying to track someone down to do a general overview of HTTP2.
Right.
I think that would be really good for a show idea. So I'm going to keep looking for someone to be able to go and describe that for us, and hopefully we'll have a show in the future on it. So that's really exciting to hear that there's a lot of improvements coming to web forms.
Right.
And it's great to see some of the new ROSIN features and stuff like that flow all the way through, because there are a lot of great enhancements in .NET 6
and C# 6. The syntax for C# 6 is so awesome that I have friends of mine who've left Microsoft and other companies, and they're looking at C# 6 and wow, man, this is pretty cool. So yeah, you should be able to use all of those features in your ASPX pages once you have those ROSIN Core DOM compilers itself. Yeah.
Cool. That's really awesome. So we have another thing that we're going to be talking about today, and this is pretty exciting because I used to use this extensively when I was first starting out in my career doing web forms way back in the early 2000s. But there was this thing called the AJAX Control Toolkit, and some of you may remember it. It added a whole bunch of different functionality when AJAX just started to be cool.
Right.
And do you want to give us a brief overview?
Yeah. So the Control Toolkit was an easy way for you to add more richness to your pages. So for example, you want to add a date time picker to your text box. So Control Toolkit was this assortment of about 20 to 30 different controls, where you can add this rich feature set as a web forms developer without having to write much code as well. So the Control Toolkit, was open source. It was a free toolkit which was loved by sort of web forms developers, who used quite a lot.
Yeah.
And that's what we're going to talk about today, basically.
Cool. So the reason we have Mehul on the show is we're actually working with DevExpress.
Right.
And there's been some things brewing there. Do you want to describe that a little bit so I don't get it wrong?
I let Mehul sort of talk it through. So Mehul, like.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks. Now, Purnell, when you say it was popular, it still is widely popular, even though it went through some state of disarray, right? So what happened was last year, see, we at DevExpress, we've been in the UI sort of interface business for over 15 years. And we saw the library and, you know, us, we're fans of user interface and, you know, especially developers who use these type of controls. So we saw this great, once great library kind of in a disarray. So we said, hey, Microsoft, you know, we approached the excellent team there and said, hey, would you allow us to maintain it for you? And they said, yeah, we'd be thrilled if you did, right? Because, you know, we have some expertise in-house, as I mentioned, to take care of these kind of things. So, you know, that's the, once Microsoft agreed, we did the arduous task, right, of going through all the issues, right? And this thing, the library, even though it had over, I think, 2,200, 2,300 issues or something like that, some pretty severe, some were performance related, some were security issues, some were just usability issues, and some just meant the control were broken, right?
Right.
They didn't work
right.
Either in modern browsers or IDEs. So, you know, we basically took that to task and said, okay, well, let's fix this, right? And but the short thing is, you know, the initial thing was when we first approached Microsoft, they were thrilled, right? I think for resource-wise, right, we're at the end of the day, we're all development shops, right? We have a limited number of developers in-house and who can work on what. So I think Microsoft was excited to have somebody who's kind of focused in on just specifically user interface. Because, you know, they're busy making the framework stuff, right? The Next.net. So, yeah, I think for us, once we took this over, the work was cut out for us.
Yeah, it was a lot of work that the DevExpress team had to go through. And as Mehul said, like, you know, there were about 2,000 odd issues where users were asking for bug fixes on them, and they were sort of just waiting for the bug fix to come in. And I think sort of DevExpress, they triaged all the bugs, made the control kit stable, added more functionality to the toolkit, make the acquisition experience very good. I think one of the common complaints people had with the toolkit before was it was bringing a lot of other dependencies which were not really needed by the toolkit. So for example, it used to bring in storage. Now if I'm just adding a datetime picker to my text box, like why do I need a storage dependency?
Yeah.
So like those kinds of, you know, usability and like lot of feedback that was there on the CodePlex site as well as what sort of DevExpress went and sort of looked at as the first step.
Cool. So what were some of the high-level improvements that were made? I think you're pulling this up in the background here.
Yeah, absolutely. What we focused on was, I mean, really it was around the third quarter of last year, 2014, when we said, okay, like, you know, we figured out we're going to be working on this. We got our resources internally working on it, which basically means you have to make choices, right?
Yep.
Given that you have some large task in front of you, we made choices. And, you know, we focused in on the biggest things, which was get this thing working, get it working in modern browsers, and get it working with modern project templates, modern Visual Studio, and so forth. So the biggest thing was, and this isn't it's not necessarily in terms of like what was done the most, but the first thing we did, one of the things we did, I don't say it's the first thing, one of the things we did was we improved the installation experience, because when we first got started with this, you know, there was several steps, there wasn't a really clear guide, and you know, we ourselves at DevExpress, we have a fantastic installer. It's a double click, you know, you run the exe, installs it into several different Visual Studios, doesn't matter which Visual Studio you had.
Right.
And so previously there was all these different packages based on which Visual Studio you had, and it was a mess. And so we brought in this installation experience that was simply like, hey, doesn't matter what Visual Studios, one or multiple that you have installed, we'll get it installed, we'll talk to the API that Visual Studio provides us, vendors like us, install it into the toolbox, all that great stuff. So it's simply just a, run the installer. And the nice thing is once you run the installer, which you can get at like devexpress.com, if you go to /act or something like that, it'll redirect you to this page.
Yeah. MS hyphen or ACT?
Yeah, there's a couple of redirects. Yeah, yeah. There's MS-ACT or ACT. Mm-hmm. And as you can see, my MS expands to Microsoft. But yes, MS-ACT is the landing page, or /ACT, either one. Yeah. And this is where you'll find the latest download. So right now, the current version is 15.1.1 or something. We're working on a minor release, so I'll talk a little bit about later. But here, you can get access to all the latest info for documentation or, you know, where to put in a support item. But in essence, that installation experience now made it much simpler to get started. Nice. And from there, we also did a lot of cleanup with the binaries. There used to be multiple binaries that were generated right. from different .NET versions. And so we dropped some of the older .NET versions and said, okay, now it's one single binary, so there's no confusion. And and we started saying, okay, we're going to get with the latest .NET and all that good stuff. So you don't have to go, well, I'm using this .NET version. Do I go with that assembly? None of that baloney. So cool. The other big thing, as Pranav mentioned, was this dependency cleanup. A lot of those external dependencies weren't necessary, and they were being added to the assemblies, which made them heavier, which made your they were unnecessary, basically, right? Mm-hmm. And so we said, let's separate out those dependencies and bring them in when necessary. And I'll show that in Visual Studio in just a bit.
Cool.
The other big thing that I really liked was bundling and minification wasn't really, it was sort of there, but it wasn't making use of the latest thing that Microsoft had done, which was this excellent web optimization framework. Mm-hmm. And so we said, well, let's dump that old one, which actually caused another dependency on TooleScript Manager. So that removed this another dependency that wasn't necessary, but also fixed a ton of bugs. There was a bunch of bugs that was created from that previous bundling and minification. So, you know, it was kind of like kill two birds with one stone type of thing. Mm-hmm. And then of course, the other major thing was when we first took it over, the source code was not organized very well, right? And when you've been building large projects like we have, that's the first thing, you know, and as a developer, you see that and you're like, oh, that's just nasty. So, you know, we started to clean that up, put it in order, fix the source code tree. So now when you go and build it in Visual Studio, it's organized much better. There's a plain and simple structure, and it's easier to understand, easier to build. Mm-hmm. Now, the other big thing was, this was one of the big things that, you know, we had first discussed right. with Pranav and Scott Hunter and said, listen, we're going to need to roll back some of the old items. There were some things that were introduced with some well intentions, right? So things like Azure support and jQueryization, which sound really good in theory, but as you mentioned, Corey, this is an old library, meaning like that, you know, you don't take some really old code base and just say, hey, let's just throw this new thing in there and expect it to work, right? Mm-hmm. You gotta sort of think it through and say, okay, is there some sort of patch we need in between and so forth. So, you know, we had to kind of remove some of those things because they caused a lot of bugs and it made the core developers that use the library upset because they started, you know, putting the ratings down. They started putting a lot of issues out there saying, hey, listen, I'm not trying to jQueryize the control toolkit. I just want it to work. At the end of the day, that's what I love about the toolkit, right?
Yeah.
So, And then we focused also back in on some of the major bug fixes, as I mentioned. You know, that was really the first thing. That was the triage, right? Go through each and every bug, figure out the severity, figure out what people were voting up the most, and just say, okay, let's see what we can work on. And so, you know, and that's what we did. And so we had to make some choices in terms of like, okay, we can't address everything. So, you know, we said we're going to focus on these core items.
Yeah, and I think the browser support there is probably one of the bigger things where a lot of developers nowadays are very concerned about, you know, what's working in the modern browsers and if there was a lot of breakages within, you know, what was existing and needed to move into what a modern browser could handle. That's a big deal.
And then I think the support for Bootstrap, you know, sort of kind of highlights the point where we're moving to a model where all our templates between WebForms, MVC are like modernized, they look great, Bootstrap is responsive. And I think this was a very sore point with the control toolkit where it didn't play well with the existing model of Bootstrap. You have these script references and have this fallback logic that we introduced in 4.5. So these are all the framework features now that are sort of going back to the control toolkit that you can start using in the control toolkit version 15.1.
When you say it works with Bootstrap, is that like we've already gone in and in the output that actually gets generated, added in the classes, or is it just a way that we've provided an easier method to go and use Bootstrap classes with the toolkit itself?
Well, let me answer that. So
yes.
Basically what that means is that it works alongside inside of a Bootstrap template. Now, Bootstrap itself is more than just, you know, the CSS. There's a whole ecosystem of Bootstrap and themes
yes.
out there and so forth, right? And so Bootstrap, because I get the same similar question. A lot of times people will be like, when Bootstrap started getting popular, some people would say, hey, even your DevExpress stuff doesn't work with Bootstrap. And I'm like, well, Bootstrap didn't exist when we made it.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Exactly. And same story with Ajax Control Kit. Ajax Control Kit has been out for a long time, right?
Right.
So things like Bootstrap and some of these newer frameworks, they did not exist. And so what happens with these, they come with their philosophy, right? They're opinionated, which is totally fine. The thing is, though, they have a set of styles in them that tend to want to do things for Bootstrap without really giving concern to what else is in there. And so
right.
we had to make sure that, you know, we weren't overriding with their styles and there wasn't anything specific that's going to screw up the usability or
right.
the look. And that was really the main thing. You know, when you say Bootstrap, people get excited, like, oh, is it also going to look like Bootstrap? Well, no, not necessarily, right? Because it has its own set of styles and so forth, right?
Yeah.
Bootstrap has a rich ecosystem.
Right.
You'll probably find a lot of corollaries to, like, the tab control or HTML editor and so forth, right? And maybe in the Bootstrap world. But really, this is about, by default now, the ASP.NET project templates use Bootstrap as a theme,
yeah.
right? As a project template. And so if people are going to get started in Visual Studio, that's what they're going to use. And if they start using Ajax Control Toolkit extenders in there, we wanted to make sure that they don't break, they work alongside
right.
with them, and there's nothing major you have to do to get them to work together.
That makes a lot of sense. Cool. So before we go off to the demos, how would we go and actually go and submit new bugs if we were to encounter something along those lines? Are you still using the CodePlex repository? Do you have another place where people can go?
I'm so happy you asked me that. Yes. So for now, and I recommend going from devexpress.com/act, and you'll see this link here. We're really making sure to separate this, right? So as I mentioned, one of the reasons let me talk about sort of the why, right? And it'll make complete sense.
Mm-hmm.
So this is an open source library, and it's going to remain free and open source.
Yep,
our
right.
involvement really, we feel it's a win-win situation because those developers who use this, they want this updated. They want this working modern. Well, we have paid products, and with our paid products comes, you know, this great support, which is for the paid customers. Now, we wanted to differentiate and keep this on the open source side, on the CodePlex side, because really this is a community project.
Mm-hmm.
We want
right.
The community involved, but also at CodePlex, there's a great ecosystem for voting items, reporting items,
yep.
and our devs are keeping track daily on these issues. So if there's something wrong, we want it to be public out there because this is a open source public project. So it isn't like, oh, you don't get DevExpress support. Really, it's to differentiate so that people know that, hey, you know, we've got some dedicated people. This is a great project out there.
Right.
I mean, and we recommend, you know, your community interaction. So yeah, please go here. You know, if you don't have a CodePlex, sign in, create one, and just report issues. And this
it is easy. Yep.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Awesome. All right. So, do you have a couple demos to show off of some of the features that have been added in, or kind of the
yeah,
new
absolutely.
Experience?
Awesome. Yeah, absolutely. All right. So, once you go through the excellent installer, it's going to create for you. Let me close this solution. It's going to create for you a. I don't know why I do this. I like to have that start page for some reason. All right. So after you've installed,
it's like the mental block. I need to see that link over there.
It's right there. Once the installer runs, the installer, like I said, just takes care of whatever issue you have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can start by going to the new project. Now, I want to show a couple things. The first is that if you use the standard ASP.NET web application templates, and I'll just call this, you know, Ajax Control Toolkit, Demo 1 or something like that. I'll go with the WebForms template. And I'm using the latest Visual Studio 2013 update 4, I think it is. Mm-hmm. And so, and we're supporting all released items. So unfortunately, we don't really have, you know, like I said, we have to make choices. So the beta stuff, you know, if we have time, we'll absolutely address it. If there's a bunch of people voting that up, let us know.
Right.
But so the first thing is, if you go to default, now I'm not going to run through all this stuff. You guys have tons of videos on this stuff already. But let's just go and add a couple of items in here. Now, I'll remove some of this stuff. As I mentioned, this is standard Bootstrap, right?
Right.
And so I'm going to dump some of that stuff, and I'll start by adding an HTML editor. Now, the HTML editor extender, as most control toolkit extenders, controls are, they're extenders to default editors. So I'll take out the standard content. Let's go to the split view, so we got the designer at the bottom, and I'll add a text box control. And to the text box control, to add an HTML editor, we'll use the HTML editor extender from the toolkit, and I'll drag that and drop it onto the text box. And so on the text box, and now what that does for us, it not only creates the HTML editor extender for us, but also assigns it to the target control, which is the text box once.
That's awesome.
Now, the other thing I want to do is I want to make that size a little bit larger, because it is going to be an HTML editor. So let's set a 400 by 600 size, so it's a little bit bigger and nicer. Now, one of the things is, before I run this, is that I mentioned we separated out those unnecessary dependencies. Well,
right.
One of those dependencies was for the HTML editor. And so if you use the HTML editor, you want to be sure that you bring in the HTML sanitizer. Now, if you go to manage NuGet packages, be sure to bring in, you can search for this on NuGet.org, and bring in the Ajax Control Toolkit HTML editor sanitizer. And this will bring in any other dependencies you need. For example, it requires the HTML Agility Dev Pack, and it also brings that in as well. So now we can run this and view this in the browser. And what you'll find is, just by adding that text box, we've got a HTML editor control, which is fantastic, right? So I can go and do this. Now, one of the things I want to highlight is that, you know, because this is running in the Bootstrap template. Bootstrap does set some items by default. So if you remember, we made this a little bit wider than we're seeing here. And so I do want to make aware that occasionally you may have to do some things like this, where, you know, it's doing, it's basically setting a default for all input types to be 280 pixels. You know, you may want to quantify that by adding a style name or something like that. But in this case, I'm just going to remove it, and we'll get our default 400 size. And now we can do this, something like this, Ajax Control Toolkit, and you can set a font for it, like Verdana.
Nice.
You know, and this is great, right? By default, you've got this functionality. As you can see, I'm running in a modern HTML5 browser. I've got Firefox here, but we've tested this with, you know,
all
Chrome, IE11, you name it. You know, all released browsers, HTML5 browsers out there, we're fully supporting. You see, we've got support for Bootstrap in here as well. So
right.
Out of the box, it's something we're absolutely proud of. And, you know, we've heard great feedback just from, you know, you'll be surprised when developers get what they want in terms of, like, hey, this works again.
Moment of Zen, or?
Yeah, no, this is really, really cool.
Yeah, thanks. I want to show off one other feature, which is the web optimization framework. So in this, in the next demo, let's do an empty website. And in this case, I'll go empty web forms, and I'll simply say, the first thing to know, I want to make note of, is that we don't really require all of these, you know, for the web page, you know, as Pranav will tell you, all you really need is like system, core, data, web, and extensions, right?
Right.
And you can remove the rest, and I'll tend to leave them in, but at the end of the day, if those are the only references that you need for a web page and the toolkit.
Right.
So, for now though, I tend to leave them in. But let's go ahead and start by adding a new web page. And in it, I want to add one second. I want to add the tab container extension. Now, the tab container is probably the other major control in the toolkit. The HTML and the tab container we find are two of the most popular controls. Now, I've added a second tab panel, so let me expand that out a little bit.
That's pretty cool.
And from the smart tag, we've got two tabs here. Now I'll say we'll call this panel 2. Go here, we'll call this panel 1. Now, to really see the effect of what the web optimization... Actually, this is a great error. Let me point this out. So it's telling us we're missing the script manager. In the standard template, the script manager is added for us in the master page. So I want to make sure that I bring in the script manager as it's necessary. And now, when we rerun this, we've got a fantastic tab panel, and we can do things like put the tabs on the left-hand side, vertically, horizontally at the top. There's a lot of things we can do. Cool. But if we take a look at the browser tools here, and if I take a look and reload this page, you can see if I filter it out by just the JavaScript ones, I've got a bunch of requests to my server, right? And if I've got a bunch of pages or I've got several controls and I've got a bunch of people hitting my page, that can quickly make my web server, you know, do a lot of extra work than it's necessary, right? Yeah. And so what we want to do is use that fantastic web optimization framework. Now, to do that, it's actually super easy. If you, once again, go to the Manage NuGet Packages and bring in this Toolkit Ajax Control, Toolkit Static Resources NuGet Package, it will bring in not just the web optimization framework, but any other items that are necessary. For example, Antler, WebGrease, all the good stuff.
The benefits of,
And so, and the other great thing is, you know, like I said, these were all in the packages, but now we separated them out. So as you see, now we've got all the items that we need in here, and we actually added this little bit of README file just to kind of give you that, you know,
it's always good to have.
The assembly right now takes care of delivering those resources. We want to notify our page that, hey, listen, I want you to call the bundling. Use the bundling for the scripts and for the styles. So let's do that. In our default page, and you might need to do this to, if you have a master page or something like that, but in our default page, I'm going to update the script manager, and we're going to add a little bit of script here. I'm sorry, a little bit of code here.
Yep.
Let's format that.
It's pretty good that we're using the framework script manager that you, so you get all the benefits of script manager.
Yeah, absolutely. It just makes sense, right? I mean, and anytime the script manager gets updated,
exactly,
the web optimization framework gets updated, you get the same benefits, right? Because now the external dependency is taking care of all that for you. All right. So now that we've updated just those two items, our page is still going to load exactly the same. So I've got the tab panel 1, tab panel 2, and now when we take a look and take a look at the network resources here, we can see we've got a much fewer items as compared to
earlier.
Yeah, because there was like 12 different JavaScript requests that you were doing originally, and now it's down to 4. So that's
pretty awesome.
That's
right?
A good optimization. Yeah.
Well, that's a feature called web optimization.
Exactly. It's like I said, this is something that we were very excited about, and if you take a look at the NuGet page itself. You know, we'd love to have you give us feedback. Let us know, and definitely leave a review. You know, if this is something that's you're finding very helpful, let us know. We've already gotten feedback about more guides that we can create. So, you know, we've done a lot of work in terms of documentation. I'm working actually on a similar video to what we demonstrated today. So, help people get started a little bit better with it, because you know, some people. One person reported, hey, you know, I want to build a NuGet package. Well, that's one of the biggest feedback items that we've got so far. So let me address that. We're working on a minor release, and in the next minor release, we're going to have a main NuGet package. Now, I've showed the satellite NuGet packages that we've created, but we don't have the core NuGet package. And this was a decision we had made. Initially, we had decided we wanted to focus in on the core items of what makes the library really useful, what people can get the most bang out of it. And now that we've released it, we've gotten feedback about bugs, or we've got a couple of things that we're fixing, and we're also introducing that NuGet package that I think a lot of people are also going to be excited about, because now there's two ways to get it. You can use that fantastic installer experience, or if you're a fan of NuGet, you can go to NuGet.org and get that NuGet package.
Great.
Pretty cool.
That's awesome, because awesome. I mean, I'm a huge fan of, and this is one of the things, like, when I was going through early on in my career and I was trying to find new techniques and everything, like, as soon as NuGet came out, it was one of the things I would go to NuGet.org and literally just leaf through all the packages, like, look for new packages, and it was a really good discovery technique for finding new things that I could use in my projects. So it's really good to see that that will be something that will be released on NuGet.org. So for anyone that does do that, I don't know, I could be unique, but anyone that does do that would be able to see it. That, and it's super simple to add to any project just by right-clicking on your solution and adding a NuGet package as well.
I think the installer experience that we saw was pretty good as well. Like, so if you have different Visual Studio releases and the installer supports like VS 2013 and VS 2015 preview, then you can just install it on both instances of Visual Studio, and you have the toolbox that lights up with all the controls. So you can drag and drop, add code, and use any of the control toolkit sort of features in your project. So I think that was pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool. Awesome.
Absolutely. And yeah, I, the toolkit, the installer is great because you can also, you know, click uninstall to it, it'll uninstall, it registers into the system add remove tools, so you can uninstall from there. But you know, like Corey said, there's also people who are just, you know, like, it's developers fall in the category, like, you know, fans of package managers, packaged stuff, you know, because I'm a big fan of Sublime as well. So I love NuGet, but I also love a good installer experience. A good installer experience is the one that just says, you know what, I clicked, don't make me go through a bunch of, like, you know, yes, no's, check boxes.
Yep.
Just,
just do it.
Yes.
Perfect.
Brilliant. Awesome. Do you have any other demos that you'd like to show off today?
Not today. Possibly in the future, though.
Cool. Well, thank you very much for coming on the show. I really appreciate you taking the time to demonstrate all the stuff that you've done, and definitely appreciate you guys maintaining this. This is incredible. Like, it's really good. I'm very sure that all of our WebForms developers out there are jumping at their seats right now.
Yes.
So thank you very much. This is really, really great to see.
Thank you very much, Corey. Thanks, Pranav.
Thank you, Mehul.
Cool. Pranav, do you have anything else that you want to add?
No, just download the Control Toolkit. Give feedback on the Coreplex site, and, you know, help us make it better.
Cool. So we'll make sure that we get all the links from the videos today just below the video window right here. It's just down here. We like to awkwardly point it out every once in a while.
There is something over there.
It's just down there. But awesome. Thanks again to you both for coming on the show, and thanks to everyone out there, and hopefully we'll see you next time here on Webcams TV.